Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to do some reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I printed out some. We're on the seventh canto, chapter 8.
Yeah,
Lord Nrisimhadeva slays the king of the demons. So we're going to speak on that today a little bit, and do some reading from that particular chapter about how Lord Nrisimhadeva slays the great demon Hiranyakashipu. As I was reading this particular chapter, I was thinking how this story about Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisimhadeva, it's a very instructive struggle between the atheists and the theists. Countless millions of years this has been going on. This is actually, like Prabhupada says, it's the eternal truth. It's always like that, because there's always a struggle between the atheists and the theists, always. Just like we've experienced that ourselves, that when you come to Krishna consciousness and you want to become a devotee, all of a sudden you find yourself with so many enemies, because this world is loaded with demons, loaded. And you know, what do you even speak of a devotee? Even when Krishna came, when he appeared, he came and he had to kill so many demons. There's a whole 10th canto practically about how Krishna kills so many demons. So not only as a devotee, when you become, you have enemies, but even the Supreme Lord himself comes to kill so many demons. In fact, Krishna even had to kill his own maternal uncle, Kamsa, the great demon Kamsa. And Kamsa was such a demon that he wanted to kill his sister's children. This is demoniac. This is the mentality. People want to kill God. But still, they're trying very hard to kill God, but they cannot. Because you cannot kill Krishna. You can't kill God. But the demons, they constantly try, no matter what. They always are trying somehow or other to kill him. But nobody can kill Krishna. The demons, this godless society, they want to kill God, but they can't kill him. Instead, they're being killed. And Prabhupada says that is nature's law. Nature's law is such that you can't kill God, but you'll die. We'll all die. That's the nature's law. As long as you're in this material world, you'll die. 100% you'll die. So this is the instruction from Prahlad Maharaj. This story is that instruction, that no matter who you are in this material world, you can be on the capacity of Lord Nrisimhadeva, or Hiranyakashipu, excuse me, and you may think that you're very powerful, but no, we'll die. And you can see in the material world, there's so many Hiranyakashipus. He was the greatest of these demons, obviously. He was very much self-motivated, lusty for power, greedy. And he forgot about the real process, or what Krishna is actually saying. It's described by Krishna, Mrityu sarva harascham, that Krishna will come as death. This is part of Krishna's strategy. It's his plan. You may want to work so hard and develop so many possessions and so many opulences, but ultimately Krishna will come here as death, and he'll take away all our possessions, everything we have. He'll be wiped out. Won't be anything left. And that is Krishna's plan. So we see that Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to acquire a lot of things. His whole world was about acquiring things. But he forgot about the Krishna factor, and that is his death. Of course, he didn't forget about it. He tried to cheat. He was very clever. So this is the nature of materialists. like Hiranyakashipu, they're very clever, just like our scientists in the world today. They're very clever because they create so many wonderful things to distract us from death. They teach us so many and get us so attracted to so many things. Like, you know, I was talking with Tadit, and I was saying to her that what this reminds me of is like the demons are so clever. They made the iPhone, and you can see people are just hankering for it. You know, you can go by some establishments where there's an Apple store, and when there's a new iPhone, there's thousands of people waiting. So these materialists are very clever. iPhone 3, then it was 4, then it was 5, and then there was 6, and there was 7. You know, there could be 8 coming, or 9 or 10. And all of us will become completely absorbed in that iPhone and forget about the real goal of life. It's not to acquire possessions. It's actually to get rid of attachments. So we see that the materialists, this is their nature. Because they're so absorbed in material sense gratification, they want this type of world. And so what is the idea? Why do they do this? Because in the material world, everyone wants to enjoy unlimitedly. And they want to enjoy forever. And this is what Hiranyakashipu represents. He represents that materialist who wants everything. His lust for life, his lust for sense gratification has become just insurmountable. And he was so determined that we know he performed so many severe austerities. He stood on his toes for 100 celestial years in order to acquire this power, this mystic power. And he was so powerful that he had Brahma. He forced Brahma to come down and give him a boon. He insisted. That was his goal. So Lord Brahma had to surrender, and he finally came down. And so in order to come down, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that he could actually make it rain when he felt like it. If he needed rain, Hiranyakashipu would call for rain. Whatever he wanted. He could actually even control day and night. He was so powerful. He controlled everything, everyone in the whole world, in the universe. That was his power. So you can imagine how puffed up he was. And so when Brahma came, he asked for immortality. And he thought that he could be very clever and cheat Krishna. So his cleverness was such that, you know, he asked for this first, and Brahma says, I can't give you immortality. I'm mortal myself. Even though I live for millions of years, I also have to die. This body has to die. And then we go back to Godhead. But Hiranyakashipu was such a demon, he didn't want to hear that. He wanted to do it by materialistic means. So he asked Brahma that no living entity can kill him, the demigod human being. No living entity, yes. And Brahma said, you know, granted. I don't want to be killed in day or night. Brahma said, granted. I don't want to be killed in any place where there's a covering or no covering. And Brahma said, granted. I don't want to be killed by any kind of weapon. And Brahma said, granted. So this went on and on like this. And so Hiranyakashipu thought he could actually cheat in that way. Very clever. And so we see the scientists same way. They're very clever. They try to do various things for us to forget God. This is their strategy. They're trying to say, we don't need God. Just get an iPhone. Or get an iPad. Or, you know, get a laptop or something. Get a good car. You don't need God. Why do you go to God? Like Papa gives that example of the communists, you know, about the poor people, and they would hold back the grain so no one could have any bread until, you know, the poor people came and asked them for bread, and they said, you don't need God. We'll give you bread. Here, how much do you want? I'll give it to you. Your God, where's your God? And this is the pastime of Lord Nrsimhadev and Hiranyakashipu. That this is what the materialists are doing. Every day they're figuring out so much strategy, so many plans for us to become distracted from the real goal of life, which is to actually develop love for Krishna. That is our real purpose in human life. And they're trying to take that away from us. They're trying to get us away from that as much as possible. And they work at it so diligently. Multi-billions of dollars are spent every day to distract us from this purpose of life, but to simply become absorbed in sense gratification. That's why there's always this eternal battle between the theist and the atheist. It's eternal. It'll never end, because we see that there's demons being born every day. And when we say demons, we don't mean to say that it's something that's derogatory. But if one is not a devotee, then one's a demon. It's either or. You're one or the other. And this isn't necessarily me saying it, us saying it. Krishna says it. That's what Krishna says. So we're simply just trying to present that. And it's very harsh. It's very difficult to hear that in many occasions. It's very difficult. But really, that is the material world. And so Krishna, he comes in order to rectify these kind of situations. He came as Lord Nrisingadev. It's described, Yadaya dahi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya sadatyajam, what is it? Sadatmanam sujamyaham. That Krishna comes whenever there's this problem, you know, when there's way too much decline of religious practice in the world, and Krishna comes. And he comes in his many multifarious forms. And when there's a predominant rise of irreligion, Krishna comes to rectify it. So he has come in this form of Lord Nrisingadev to rectify these great demons, big demons like Hiranyakashipu. And it's interesting because Hiranyakashipu, this Hiranya means gold, money. And Kashipu means bed. So, very appropriately identified that in the world today, everyone is thinking of gold. Everyone wants money. And everyone is thinking of sex. These are the two things that people work so hard for. Sex and money. If they have money, you can be ugly. You know, you can be the most abominable kind of person. But if you have money, you'll be glorified. People will love you. People will do anything for you. And you can have so-called unlimited sex in the material world. So this is Hiranyakashipu. He was so demoniac. This is what he wanted. And by his austerities, this is what he acquired. And Prabhupada even made a comment that, you know, money is sweeter than honey. And people risk their life for it. Like a thief. A thief will enter into someone's home or establishment at the risk of their death. They're risking their life, and they'll steal just to get money. And Prabhupada even mentions that just like a professional soldier. A professional soldier will go out and go to war and risk his life in order to get some money. And you see that people will cheat to get money. That is the nature of the materialist. And this is what this story is actually about. It's about that kind of individual. And there's so many millions of them in the material world. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant to give some education. There's no education on this principle. From childhood, one is trained how to become involved in sense gratification. Literally. So this is why Prahlad Maharaj said from the very beginning of life, we need to be trained up about the real purpose of life. Otherwise, one becomes completely engrossed in sense gratification. And that is why we have so many problems in life today. There's no education. No one is teaching people this science. Instead, they're teaching them how to become more absorbed in sense gratification. And this is why this story is so important for us in the Krishna conscious movement, to open our eyes, to let us really perceive and understand through through the science of Krishna consciousness, the importance of this story and the importance of us to become fully dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what everyone is trying not to do. This is what the struggle is. Krishna even says, Kunteya pratijanahi nami bhaktya paryasyati. And there Krishna is saying to Arjuna, he says to him, declare boldly. Krishna is saying like that. Declare boldly. He wants Arjuna to go out into the world and declare to everybody that anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and becomes the Lord's devotee, that person will never become vanquished. Never. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj exhibited. He boldly preached to his classmates, even though he had the most demoniac father, the most powerful person in the world at that time, the universe. And so he boldly preached. And this is what Krishna wants. He wants us to boldly preach this science of Krishna consciousness and have faith that we won't be vanquished. And this science is so powerful. This process is so amazingly powerful that it's this guy, Swapamapasya Dharmasya Traite Mahato Bayat. It says that even a little bit of advancement on this path, just a little bit, fraction, and one will actually be protected from the most dangerous type of fear. And the most dangerous type of fear is death. Everybody is afraid of death. Everybody fears death. If you see a little ant or a roach on the floor there, if you try to touch it, it'll run away from you. It fears death. Even an insect realizes death and is fearful of death. It'll run away from you immediately. So that is the most dangerous type of fear, this death. And Krishna is saying that all you have to do is just accept a little bit. Like Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyativamam Samtim Richati. And it says that the sages who understand that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like the ultimate purpose of all our austerities and sacrifices, that he's the well-wisher of all living entities, that he's a proprietor of the both worlds, the material world and the spiritual world. And if it says if you surrender to that and understand that, then one will get rid of the pangs of material nature. That pang. What is that pang? That fear and that suffering that we go through. We go through so much suffering, whether we want to or not. But the formula is there, that if we surrender to Krishna, and we understand these three things, that Supreme Lord is the well-wisher of all living entities, that He's the benefactor, and that He's the supreme controller of everything. That's all the three things we have to know. That's all. Those three things. If you know those three things, one can get rid of the pangs of material nature. Very simple. Very, very simple to do. But the material energy is so powerful, the illusion is so amazingly covering us over, it's very difficult to understand this. And that happiness that we want happiness. We want to become freed from this fear and this anxiety. And we've been traveling through so many different types of bodies, through so many different universes, so many planetary systems we've gone through, looking for this particular happiness in so many different lives that we've had. Although we can't remember them, but we've gone through so many of these different lives in order to search out that happiness. That is the nature of the living entity. We're looking for it. and now we have the opportunity to acquire that happiness, that satisfaction that we're searching for, that we really, 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 really want. And all we need to do is this very simple formula. Just believe in Krishna. Fully surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityajam mamekam saranam vrajam. Krishna says that if you just surrender to me, I'll protect you. I'll protect you from everything. There's nothing to fear. And this is this story about Prahlad Maharaj, why it's so powerful. Because Prahlad Maharaj fully surrendered. And Krishna came to show that he could not be vanquished. Krishna came to show in this particular form to erase these boons that Hiranyakashipu received from Lord Brahma. Erased them. And he showed that his devotee cannot be vanquished. So, we as the Krishna consciousness devotees, we have to become vidvan. Vidvan means a person who's very intelligent. Mudha means one who's like, who lives like an animal, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is a mudha, animalistic, bewildered. And we see that the living entities in this world, they're bewildered. They're vimudha. So one must become vidvan. Vidvan means one who's very intelligent, who knows who they are, what the position of life is. And when Sanatana Goswami met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Sanatana Goswami was an amazing person, he was a devotee, but he was also a person who was materially very advanced. He actually controlled the whole kingdom for the Nawab, and so that the Nawab could go out and fight, and get more property, and collect more money. And Sanatana Goswami actually worked for him and did all that work and service for him to make him a great. But you would think that a person of that caliber, they would, you know everything. But the minute that he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, you know, who am I? Like, who am I? And why am I being so tormented by the material modes of material nature? Why am I suffering so much? Why am I so unhappy? This is the first questions that he asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's actually the purpose of life, to ask these questions. And this is why Prahlad Maharaj was threatened by his father. Because the materialist doesn't want to hear that. Just like we're saying this, and if there was somebody here that was really materially absorbed, they would think that this is craziness. Like, what are you talking about? This is insanity. So when he heard, when Hiranyakashipu heard that his son Prahlad was speaking these things, trying to tell his classmates who you are, what the purpose of life is, he became enraged. Completely enraged. So much so that the first thing he thought is, I've got to kill him. I want to kill him. And you can see how just becoming a devotee, you have so many enemies. All you want to do is just go back to Godhead. And because you're so ecstatic, you want to tell someone about Krishna and Krishna consciousness and how to surrender, and they'll kill you. Prabhupada even said, if they knew what my mission was, they would kill me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, they had hired a police constable to kill him. Can you imagine? And what were they doing? What kind of enemies were they? What kind of enemy was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj? Look at Haridas Thakur. 21 marketplaces beat to death. What was he doing? He was just chanting Hare Krishna. That's all he was doing. And so automatically you see, when you become a devotee, you have these problems. And I recall when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, and I was telling my friends about Krishna, and you know, we'd be doing various things, and I said, wow, Krishna is so this and that, and I read in the Gita. One day my friends just got all together, three or four of them got around me and said, you know what, man, why don't you get out of here, you know, with a couple of curse words. I said, go to Krishna. You don't belong around here. We don't want anything to do with you anymore. Get out of here. And then at that point I realized, wow, I had no idea that I was doing that. I thought everybody was happy. I was so happy speaking about Krishna. I thought they were happy. I thought they were really enjoying it. I didn't realize that I was simply irritating them to the point where my friendship meant nothing. They actually just told me one day, they got together and just told me, listen, Becca, why don't you get out of here, man? We don't want to hear you anymore. And what was really amazing, I just said, okay, I'll see you later. Never saw them again. I remember that day so vividly. We were in a park, and we had our van, we had the music blasting, we were doing crazy things, and the world was, you know, really happy. Everybody's really like, wow. And I start speaking about Krishna, and all that went to hell, so to speak, with them. Couldn't take it. So this is what happens. So this is what happened to Prahlad Maharaj. He was a 5-year-old boy, innocent. And of course he learned everything in the womb of his mother, because Narada Muni protected his mother at his ashram, and there he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to every day. And his mother became purified, and Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb, and he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is something for all women that are pregnant to realize, that you can read the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and the child in the womb can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was the beginning of Prahlad Maharaj's life. And his great became a great devotee by the mercy of a pure devotee. So this is why Prahlad Maharaj was being so ostracized by his father, because he was just a devotee. Okay, so we'll get in and read. How's that? Read a little bit of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions? Anybody like to mention anything? Add to it? Okay. So we're going to read here from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 1. This will only be about 30 verses or so. Not a lot. So it shouldn't be much longer. Okay. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sunda and Amarka. Purport. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did, when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Sambido Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Kataha. If one tries to understand the discourses given by the sat, or pure devotees, those instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus, if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness, and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in turning home back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Sunda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. So text 2. When Sunda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. Purport. The words buddhim ekanta samstitam indicate that as an effect of Prahlad Maharaj's preaching, the students who listened to him became fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. The fact is that anyone who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and is not disturbed by materialistic consciousness. The teachers particularly observed this in their students, and therefore they were afraid because the whole community of students was gradually becoming Krishna conscious. Text 3. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Purport. When one is impudent toward a highly authorized devotee, one is punished by the laws of nature. The duration of his life is diminished, and he loses the blessings of superior persons and the results of pious activities. Hiranyakashipu, for example, had achieved such great power in the material world that he could subdue practically all the planetary systems in the universe, including the heavenly planets, Swargaloka. Yet now, because of his mistreatment of such a Vaishnava as Prahlad Maharaj, all the results of his tapasya diminished. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46, Ayushriyam yaso dharmam lokan ashisha evacha hanti shreyam si sarvani pumso mahad atikramaha. When one mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. Purport. Hiranyakashipu condemned his Vaishnava son Prahlad for being Durvindita, ungentle, uncivilized, or impudent. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, however, has derived the meaning from this word Durvinita, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. He says that du refers to this material world. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in his instruction in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is dukhalayam, full of material conditions. Vi means vishesha, specifically, and nitta means brought in. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to this material world to teach people how to get out of this material condition. Lord Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata, Bhagavad Gita 4.7. When the entire population or part of it becomes forgetful of his own duty, Krishna comes. When Krishna is not present, the devotee is present, but the mission is the same, to free the poor conditioned souls from the clutches of the Maya that chastises them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the word mandatmam means manda, very bad or very slow in spiritual realization. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.10, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Prahlad Maharaj is the guide of all the mandas or bad living entities who are under the influence of Maya. He is the benefactor even of the slow and bad living entities in this material world. By his actions, Prahlad Maharaj made great personalities who established big families seem insignificant. Everyone is interested in his own family and in making his dynasty famous, but Prahlad Maharaj was so liberal that he made no distinction between one living entity and another. Therefore, he was greater than the great Prajapatis who established their dynasties. The word stubdham means obstinate. A devotee does not care for the instructions of the asuras. When they give instructions, he remains silent. A devotee cares about the instructions of Krishna, not those of demons or non-devotees. He does not give any respect to a demon, even though the demon be his father. Matschashan vod vritam. Prahlad Maharaj was disobedient to the orders of his demoniac father, Yamaksham. Every conditioned soul is under the control of Yamaraj, but Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Prahlad Maharaj his deliverer, for Prahlad would stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death. Because Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, was better than any yogi, Hiranyakashipu was to be brought among the society of bhakti yogis. Dasyila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained these words in a very interesting way, as they can be interpreted from the side of Saraswati, the mother of learning. Text number 6. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. But whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent? By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Purport. The relationship between a pure devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely relishable. A devotee never claims to be very powerful himself. Instead, he fully surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, being confident that in all dangerous conditions, Krishna will protect his devotee. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasati. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord requested Arjuna to declare this instead of declaring it himself, because sometimes Krishna changes his view, and therefore people might not believe him. Thus Krishna asked Arjuna to declare that a devotee of the Lord is never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu was perplexed about how his 5-year-old boy could be so fearless that he did not care for the order of his very great and powerful father. A devotee cannot execute the order of anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the position of a devotee. Hiranyakashipu could understand that this boy must have been very powerful, since the boy did not heed his orders. Hiranyakashipu asked his son, Kimbala, how have you overcome my order? By whose strength have you done this? Text number 7. Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear king, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tat tad eva bhagachitvam mama tejo mimsha sambhavam. Translation. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. End of quote. This is confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. If one sees extraordinary strength or power anywhere, it is derived from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To give an example, there are different grades of fire, but all of them derive heat and light from the sun. Similarly, all living entities, big or small, are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's only duty is to surrender, for one is a servant and cannot independently attain the position of master. One can attain the position of master only by the mercy of the master, not independently. Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. In other words, he is not very intelligent. The mudhas, the asses who do not have this intelligence, cannot surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the subordinate position of the living entity takes millions of births, but when one is actually wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam Jamanamante Dhyanavan Mam Papajate Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually acknowledged surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Prahlad Maharaj was a great soul, a Mahatma, and therefore he completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. He was confident that Krishna would give him protection under all circumstances. Text 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it. Text 9. Prahlad Maharaj continued, My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equal poise toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. We'll read the purport. Unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita 6:34, Chanchalam himana krishna pramati balavaditam tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva suduskaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to me, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The only bona fide process of controlling the mind is to fix the mind by the service to the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind, but actually there are no enemies and friends. Pandita Samadarshana, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. Sama Saveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, Bhagavad Gita 18:54. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Text 10. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the ten directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised toward all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. Purport. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies, not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and five senses. Mana shastanindriyani prakitestani karshati. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of their senses. Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna, but in ignorance, one forgets this. And thus, one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone is actually independent on the reactions of material laws, but still one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within himself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. 11. Hiranyakashipu replied, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. Purport. It is said in Hitopadesh, Upadesho hi markanyam prakopaya na santarye. If good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. Prahlad Maharaj's authorized instructions to his father were not accepted by Hiranyakashipu as truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his great son, who was a pure devotee. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu, who are interested in money and women. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to the cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by his son, especially if the father is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's Vaishnava preaching to his demoniac father was indirectly effective. Because of Hiranyakashipu's excessive jealousy of Krishna and his devotee, he was inviting Nrisimhadev to kill him very quickly. Thus he was expediting his being killed by the Lord himself. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he is described here by the added word Sri. Why? The answer is that fortunately he had a great devotee son as Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, although he was a demon, he would attain salvation and return home back to Godhead. Text 12. Almost unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? We'll read this purport also. Demons sometimes declare to a devotee that they cannot accept the existence of God because they cannot see him. But what the demon does not know is stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritaha. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by Yoga Maya. The Lord is open to being seen by devotees, but non-devotees cannot see Him. The qualifications for seeing God is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Shanta Sadaiva Hideshu Vilokshanti. A devotee who has developed a genuine love for Krishna can always see Him everywhere, whereas a demon not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord cannot see Him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatening to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father, and he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demoniac father's words. The Lord was present to protect him. Hiranyakashipu marked Prahlad's observation and asked him, "Where is your God?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "He is everywhere." Then Hiranyakashipu asked, "Why is He not in the pillar before me?" Thus, in all circumstances, the devotee can always see the Supreme Lord, whereas the non-devotee cannot. Prahlad Maharaj has here been addressed by his father as the most unfortunate. Hiranyakashipu thought himself extremely fortunate because he possessed the property of the universe. Prahlad Maharaj, his legitimate son, who was to have inherited this vast property, but because of his impudence, he was going to die at his father's hands. Therefore, the demoniac father considered Prahlad the most unfortunate because Prahlad would not be able to inherit his property. Hiranyakashipu did not know that Prahlad Maharaj was the most fortunate person within the three worlds because Prahlad was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such are the misunderstandings of demons. They do not know that a devotee is protected by the Lord in all circumstances. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati. Text 13. Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your hand from your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. Purport. Demons always think that the God of the devotees is fictitious. They think that there is no God and that the so-called religious feeling of devotion to God is but an opiate, a kind of illusion, like the illusions derived from LSD and opium. Hiranyakashipu did not believe Prahlad Maharaj when Prahlad asserted that his Lord is present everywhere. Because Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, was convinced that there is no God and that no one could protect Prahlad, he felt encouraged to kill his son. He challenged the idea that the devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. Text 14. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee's son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his first fist against the column. Then, from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma, and when the demigods heard it, they thought, "Oh, now our planets are being destroyed." While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound, which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. Text 17. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in His wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is He present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta prayasati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Nrsingadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Text 18. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be neither a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" Okay, we'll read the purport. A demon cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord, as stated in the Vedas. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Sriyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The different potencies of the Lord are always working as an automatic exhibition of his knowledge. For a demon, it is certainly wonderful that the form of a lion and the form of a man can be united, since a demon has no experience of the inconceivable power for which the Supreme Lord is called all-powerful. Demons cannot understand the omnipotence of the Lord. They simply compare the Lord to one of them. Avajananti mam mudha manusim tanum asritam. Mudhas, rascals, think that Krishna is an ordinary human being who appears for the benefit of other human beings. Parambhavam ajananta. Fools, rascals, and demons cannot realize the supreme potency of the Lord, but he can do anything and everything indeed. He can do whatever he likes. When Hiranyakashipu received benediction from Lord Brahma, he thought that he was safe, since he received the benediction that he would not be killed neither by an animal or by a human being. He never thought that an animal and human being would be combined, so that demons like him would be puzzled by such a form. This is the meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipotence. A few more verses. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrsingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Translation: just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by the spiritual effulgence. We'll go on. Text 25. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrsingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrsingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as a Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhishthir, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrsingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. 27. When Hiranyakashipu was free from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. The purport. When a simple man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this simple man is enjoying whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a simple man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were under the were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he's given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu, when he was released from the hands of Nrisingadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisingadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. Text 28. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who was extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth, his eyes closed of fear of Nrisingadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hands. Lord Nrisingadev ki jai. I'll read the purport. Kind of nice. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisingadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of the day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrisingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time, they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrisingadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Lord Nrisingadev ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for your patience. It took a long time, but thank you very much. Haribo.